Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Getting Good at Life, the show that inspires, equips, and empowers you to live a life that gets better every day. For the next 30 minutes, we'll provide you with practical tips and information that will help you on your journey of faith. So sit back and relax and join the talk. We want to hear from you. Call us at 646-716-6910. That's 646-716-6910. And now your host, psychologist and coach, Dr. Carolyn Clancy Miller. She's here to help you get really good at life.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Getting Good at Life, the show that inspires, equips, and empowers you to live a life that gets better every day. For the next 30 minutes, we'll provide you with practical tips and information that will help you on your journey of faith. So sit back and relax and join the talk. We want to hear from you. Call us at 646-716-6910. That's 646-716-6910. And now your host, psychologist and coach, Dr. Carolyn Clancy Miller. She's here to help you get really good at life.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in to Getting Good at Life. I am Tracy Dennis, co-host and producer of the show, and I'm sitting in for Dr. Carolyn today. How was your weekend? As you know, this weekend was Veterans Day weekend, and lots of football, lots of celebration and honoring going on. So I hope it was a peaceful one for you. We know that some weeks are better than others, but we also know that ours just got better because you joined us in what we like to call the job immunity today. So if things are not looking up for you right now, we want to try in this next half hour to give you a boost. We talk about a variety of topics on GGAL that hit many key areas of life. And today we want to know how your spirit is doing. Are you going through some angst where God is concerned? Are you at a point where you feel like your prayers are useless? It isn't a good place to be. And it's in times like these when you really need the assurance that God really does hear you and he really does care about you. Our guest today has brought hope to thousands of women in this aspect. She personally knows about weathering seasons of silence while waiting on God. Her name is Wendy Pope. Some of you may be familiar with her as a speaker and team member of the popular Proverbs 31 Ministries, a beloved women's ministry team that produces a popular national radio show, hosts numerous conferences, and publishes a magazine just for women. Wendy is an author, speaker, and Bible study teacher. And whether she's in the pulpit or on paper, her passion is biblical application. Wendy leads women all over the world into positive life change through her in-depth online Bible studies delivered with her unique wit and transparency. She's a loving wife to her husband, Scott, and adoring mother of their son and daughter, Griffin and Blair. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you, Tracy. Thanks for having me today.
Well, we're so glad that you're able to be with us. We had a wonderful pre-show chat together, and I know that that same spirit will just kind of spill over into the interview this morning. So, Wendy, why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about how you came to answer the call to teach the Bible?
Well, I kind of say it's an Old Testament. It sounds very Old Testament because God called me actually in a vision, which I am from a Southern Baptist background, and visions are not typically talked about in a Southern Baptist church, so it kind of frightened me a little bit, and I kept it to myself for a good long time until I could figure it all out. There was a vision of me teaching the Bible and speaking to women, and I didn't really get it. I was saved at the time. I was saved at an early age in my little Southern Baptist church, and I've always been in church, and I always did church things. But I was never truly surrendered to the Lordship of Christ in my life and yielding to the Holy Spirit. So I surely didn't understand all of it. And really thought it quite humorous, and I thought I was just seeing things, and maybe I was a little crazy, and certainly God was not calling me to do this, because I still sang the books of the Bible song, or had to use my table of contents to find out where a book like Micah or Joel might be. Over a period of time, I just gave up and surrendered and realized, I can't remember the pastor that has quoted this many, many times, but I learned it from my friend Lisa Turkhurst, that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I realized that I had to submit, and I had to just say, all right, I don't understand all this, but I'm going to just go for it. And I did, and God began to transform my life, actually, before he put me in front of women. And I wasn't ready for all that transformation, but God's grace got me through. I didn't realize how messed up I was until I surrendered. Maybe you understand that. But as I started to surrender and he started to work in my life, I realized I had a story to tell about my life, and God began to open the Word to me, and I began to read it and understand it and be able to explain it and teach it to women in a very unique, very down-to-earth way, very down-to-earth way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am so glad because, ministering to women is a personal passion of my own, and it seems like it's something I've always had. I didn't necessarily have the same type of experience where the call was concerned. It just seemed like this had been going on all of my life.
Mm-hmm. It was something that when I did finally start seeking, you know, my actual individual purposes, you know, it came into play right along with the passion and the ministry that my husband and I have for marriages. But mine individually is specifically toward women. So I understand. I really do understand. And I'm so glad to be able to talk to someone who knows what that's like and knows the heart of women and just in different aspects. It doesn't matter what your race is, what your background is, what your religious preferences are and all that. It just is a known fact that God's grace can reach anybody.
Exactly, I just totally agree with what you said about non-denominational. It doesn't matter about your race, your ethnicity, your socioeconomic background. We're all women, and we all struggle with the same issues. And what I have found to be so true is that God's word is the answer. It is the key to holding ourselves together in this busy society, in this society, or in our lives, actually, that's just peaks and valleys. It's the ebb and flow of life, and without God's word in us and a desire, actually, to get it in us, we're not going to make it through as joyfully as God wants it to be. I mean, we will push through, we will, because God is always with us, but his abundant life within us starts at the moment we accept Christ as our Savior. And the more I learned about the Bible and the more I studied the Bible, I realized that that abundant life is supposed to be right now. We don't have to wait to heaven till we get to heaven to have it.
That's true.
And so studying God's word over these years and really digging into it and applying it to my life, I've seen the principles, the basic principles that God outlined in the very early days with his people in the Old Testament. It's just very basic. He simply just wants us to worship him and to obey him. And if we can get those two things right, our path's going to be straight. It might not be completely without bumps, but it will be straight. And there'll be joy in our relationships. There'll be joy even when there doesn't seem like there can be joy, because the seasons are so oppressive sometimes in our lives. There is a joy that's unspeakable that the Old Testament teaches us. It passes understanding, that peace that we will have. And that's all found in a devotion to having God's word dwell within you and give you give you life that you need.
Yes, it is. It is. And, you know, today, we always try to pick a topic that's going to really hit home that most people can relate to. And so we chose the topic, is this thing on? You know, you can feel like that.
I love it.
When you're praying and you don't feel like you're getting God's attention sometimes, and there are those times of silence where you can doubt his love for you, his care for you, and we really want to delve into that by going to the same scripture that we have for today. It's found in Psalm 66, and I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation, if you don't mind.
That's one of my favorites.
Psalm 66, and it's verses 17 through 20, and it says, "For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Mm-hmm. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's comforting. But we want to get into why it would be comforting. Can you summarize the theme of these verses for us, Wendy?
Well, I love the New Living Translation. And I actually have the NIV in front of me. I didn't know which translation that you would be reading from today, but I love all translations. I'm from the school of thought that God wants his girls in his word, and he's not going to give any demerits for what translation we're reading from. I love the way the psalmist has taught us with just in these few verses how to communicate with God. And that's what he's communicating with us, how to communicate with God. And he says to us here, just start with praise. We start our prayer, and it's hard not to start with being downtrodden when you're downtrodden and you're beaten down and you have gone before God over and over again. It's hard to have a praise on your tongue. And I refer to that as the scriptures refer to as a sacrifice of praise, because truly there are times when things are so bad, it takes all our strength to find something to praise God about. But we're challenged to do that. And then the NIV, interestingly enough, I don't think it does it justice. It says, if I had cherished sin in my heart. And the NLT that you read, and when I looked it up in the original Hebrew there, it does mean to hold on to our sin and not acknowledge it. And so basically what the psalmist is telling us to do, communicating with God, is we praise, but we also need to get real about our sin. We need to recognize that sin. And then acknowledge his response. He says that, surely the Lord listened to me. He heard my prayer. And sometimes we don't feel at that moment that he hears our prayer, because we don't hear an audible voice, or we don't have the heavens open up and go, I heard you, or we don't get some kind of response. But we have to trust that God hears our prayer. All throughout the Old Testament, we are reminded that God hears the cries of his children, and it is against his nature. It would be against a father's nature not to hear the cries of his children. So he hears our prayer. And then the psalmist, so we need to thank him for that. Whether we feel it or not, thank him for that. And I feel sure Dr. Carolyn's probably said something to this nature on the show before. Sometimes we have to say things because we know that's the right thing to say, and then eventually our feelings are going to catch up with them, if that makes sense. We might not feel thankful at that moment, and we might not feel like he's heard us, but we need to thank him for that. And eventually, by doing the right things, obeying God and seeking him, our feelings and our emotions, which are, as women, all over the roller coaster, will catch up with that. And then the psalmist ends in another praise. It's like a sandwich there with praise and confession. And it just reminded me just briefly about when Daniel prayed. And he prayed and prayed and prayed, and he didn't feel like he was being heard. But the angel came to him and said, the Lord heard you immediately. I wish I had my finger on the reference right now, but the Holy Spirit just put this in my mind. The Lord heard you immediately, but I was battling in the heavenlies, and it took me a while to get here. So we have to understand that there's more to prayer than us just hitting our knees and lifting something up. There's a lot going on in the heavenlies that we don't understand. So God hears us, but there's some things going on, so we've got to trust that he hears us. And I think that's the message that we hear there.
Now, let's explore for a minute, because you said something that was, I think, very crucial, when you, especially when you're talking about women and us dealing with our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, Wendy, but sometimes, and I know this from my own personal life experience as well as, you know, being in contact with women through ministry, that a lot of times our emotions can cloud our perception, our godly perspective that we should have about us. Classic
Absolutely.
Example, and I've heard this testimony from many women, especially, you know, pastors' wives and just various women, that if they, let's say they have a quarrel or a fight with their husband, and they go to God, and they're crying and they're weeping and they're telling God everything that their husband did and how he, you know, oh, he said this and it hurt me and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, get him, God, get him and, you know, help him to understand and, you know, bring him to the, you know. And you, we have to, you know, kind of arrest ourselves in the middle of our prayers and say, okay, are we praying a sick'em God, sick'em prayer? You know, or are we praying, God, okay, this did hurt me. Yes, it did. How should I respond?
Absolutely. And I am a believer of just being gut honest about how I'm feeling with God. He is my
yeah.
father, he is my Abba, and he is my daddy. And there isn't
mm-hmm.
anyone that loves me or knows me better than he does. So
right.
I do think that it is therapeutic, and I don't want to think of God as a therapist in that manner, because he is all-knowing and omniscient
right.
and all-present. But what I'm saying here is, instead of going to the phone, go to the throne and talk to God about everything. And, yes, ask God, say to him, this hurt my feelings, and I thought we'd settled this before, and I'm upset
mm-hmm.
about this. But then step back and say, God, what is it that I can learn from this? And it's funny that you've mentioned a husband, because I'm at a point right now in my relationship with my husband, and I don't want to dishonor him or our marriage, but there is a place right now where God is telling me to do something for my husband and our relationship and our marriage, and I've kind of dug
mm-hmm.
my heels in, because what I have evaluated through the Holy Spirit's work in my life is that I have put my hope in my works for my marriage, into changing my marriage, instead of putting
mm-hmm.
my hope into Christ to change my marriage. But I had to get to that place where I'm getting real with God, but then, like you said, ask God, okay, what is my response to this? And God's just
mm-hmm.
plainly told me, your response is to me, not to your husband. And I think whether you're married or not married, we can apply that to all situations that we pray about and that we take to the Lord, is get it all out and then say, all right, God, help me, give me the grace to take it. Whatever you've got to say, give me the grace to take it and understand
yeah.
what it is that I need to do. Because so many times we think we're in no-fault relationships. It's always someone else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be willing, and that's part of that those fiery trials that we go through that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1 about refining
mm-hmm.
our faith, making it pure as gold. That's part of it. And if we want to be real and we want to be right and we want to have a right relationship with Christ, we're going to have to let him get real with us and then ask him for the grace to take it. Because he's going to get real with you if you invite him to get real. It's like, yeah, I dare you, do it. But I'll tell you, going through the fire is hard, but the finery of your faith on the other side of the trial is worth the trial. So,
it must certainly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I got off topic a little bit, but just coming back to that, I do think we need to get real in our prayers and say, God, what part of this did I play and how can I respond to this? Absolutely. And take my
yeah.
feelings out of this. And it's very hard as women because we are emotional beings.
Indeed, indeed. And we're going to talk a bit more about that in our second half, too. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Getting Good at Life. And we're going to open up the phone lines right now to our live audience in just a second. We have a lot of people in our chat room. If you do not already have a free Blog Talk Radio account, we may or may not be able to see your comments, but you can always call 646-716-6910 while we're on live to ask Wendy any question you want to ask or give us your comment, okay? So, Wendy, as we go on into the second half of the show, I'd like to kind of proceed on that vein because sometimes let's talk about how God's silence affects us. When we're not, you know, sometimes when we're not being real, it's kind of like I heard someone say, you know, God's not going to tell you the next thing to do until you do the last thing he told you to do.
That is so true. That is so true.
He could have told you, you know, okay, you need to be dealing with that little issue of pride, and you may call it little, but
mm-hmm.
it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, so it's those little bitty things that you know, kind of congregate and make it into a big thing later on. And you're not dealing with it. You're kind of, you know, just skirting over it and maybe saying a few apologies here or there. Or, you know, you're repenting, you know, maybe when it comes to your mind, you might have said something or done something out of pride. But God wants to deal with that issue of pride,
mm-hmm.
the issues of life in your heart. You know, he wants to deal with that issue of pride. So, and sometimes it can seem like, well, he's silent. He's not moving forward. He's not, you know, the answer is not coming. You know, what's going on? And it's like, I can't entrust that into your hands if you won't let me deal with the issues of your heart. It's going to be disastrous.
Absolutely. And it's funny. The first thing that came to my mind was a story that that involved a friend of mine. I'm an avid bargain hunter. I love to shop at thrift stores. I love to shop at consignment stores, Goodwills, and all like that. And
mm-hmm.
but I also have always liked to consign my children's clothes. And I've always thought that was being a good steward of our money and our family. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Outside of my speaking, I'm at home. And it's
mm-hmm.
just a good stewardship of our money. I've always believed that. And I'm one that can find bargains, something at a really good deal. I've always been taught to take care of what we have. So usually when my kids are finished with it, other than my son and the knees of his jeans, I can resell
mm-hmm.
something at a resale shop. And I remember
mm-hmm.
God was telling me as I was packing up and getting some things together for the consignor shop that I go to, he said specifically, give these clothes to Stacy because Brandon, these are friends of mine, this is her son, Brandon can wear Griffin's clothes and Kara
mm-hmm.
can wear Blair's clothes. And I was like, but Lord, and I sat there and argued with him, and I want you to know, Tracy, I packed those clothes up and I set them in a bag on top, right at the top of my steps in my house, and they sat there for 2 weeks. And every time I went by there, God said, I told you to give those clothes to Stacy. And I continued to argue with God. Now, this is one of those simple things. I felt like I could manage my money better than God. And eventually, now, did God just stop talking to me in those moments? No, because I kept hearing him. But this is what I go back to. What could I have been hearing from God? What did I miss from God because of my stubbornness and not obeying in something simple? So it, and I eventually, let me finish the story, did give those clothes to Stacy, and we ended up having I ended up doing that for years. Her son was right under my son, and her daughter was right under my daughter. And it blessed them tremendously, and they've been able to bless our family. Her husband's an electrician, and he comes and does electrical stuff at our home. So we kind of swap back trades and things, and it's been a beautiful relationship. But it could be something as simple as that. So when we hear silence, and we know silence, when we hear silence, I there's two things that I have gone to check. And, Lord, is there any area of disobedience in my life whatsoever? Is it the clothes that I haven't given away? Is it the pride that you've asked me to lay down? Is it unforgiveness? Am I supposed to reconcile with that person? Ask God what it is. And then just obey him. Just go ahead and do it. You know, Abraham got up the next day when he heard the word from God to sacrifice Isaac. He didn't delay. He didn't go, I don't think, I need to consult some people on that. I'm not sure I heard God right. Because he was in a close walk with God, he heard God directly, and that goes back to the point of having a close relationship with Christ. You know what he's telling you to do. Just do it. And then the second thing about silence is what the psalmist warned us about is that is not acknowledging our sin. And that's going to keep us away from Christ as well. Now, does he stop paying attention to us? Absolutely not, because he's the Father. He doesn't ever take his eye off his children, Scripture tells us. His eye is on the sparrow, it's on us. But he will back off a little bit and say, all right, I'm going to kind of let you go on your own a little bit until we get this settled.
Exactly, because really the whole relationship boils down to it's a heart thing.
Absolutely.
He gives us a will to enable us to choose, and it's one of the most beautiful gifts he could have ever given us. He did not create us to be robotic and you know, just, you know, whatever you say, master, whatever you say. He wanted us to be able to have an intelligent love relationship with him.
I like that word, intelligent, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
He's not thinking for us. He's teaching us how to think.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
Yeah, I had to grow to learn that, Wendy.
Absolutely.
You know,
I hear you.
I did want to bring up this one because I can almost feel it in spirit that someone is thinking, you know, okay, let's say that, you know, because I know there are women that do this. You probably come in contact with them yourself. I know Dr. Carolyn has. Sometimes we beat ourselves up.
Yeah.
And we'll say, oh, God. You know, there's got to be something I'm doing wrong. And okay, but the Holy Spirit may be giving you peace, saying, you've repented of everything you needed to repent of. Mm-hmm. You have improved in this area. You've done this. You've done that. The silence is not because you're doing something wrong all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree.
Get
and, you know,
the bargaining with God thing.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to leave men out because we have several men listeners. It's just a people thing. That, you know,
it
we
is.
Get into this bargaining with God thing that, you know, what else can I do,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make him hear me or to make him answer? And sometimes that period of waiting is just a building of trust.
Absolutely. And that was my point on that, too, is sometimes we are so desperate, we are more desperate for what we want and what we think will make our life improved than we are desperate for Christ.
Exactly.
And we miss that point. We have work-based prayers where we feel like we check our list off. Like you said, we've obeyed, we've confessed, we've got all these things, and we've done all the work of our prayers, but we fail to yield to the providence-based prayers and know that God's providence is at hand, and sometimes waiting is part of that. And one of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 64:4. Since ancient times, no one has ever heard, no ears ever perceived, or eyes ever seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. So we want God to act on our behalf, obviously, because his plans are far superior than anything that we could ever come up with. We hear that, but waiting is a hard thing. So I love your point. Sometimes we have it all checked off, but sometimes God is still silent. And those are those times, as you said, it's a trust issue. It's a building issue. It is really proving our faith genuine in his eyes to take us to that next step that he wants us to journey with him, where he wants us to go in our journey. And sometimes it involves waiting. And at that point, I dare to say, let's sit back and enjoy our relationship with God and say, I trust you, and I'm going to move forward with the things that I know to be what I need to do. I'm going to trust you for the rest. Is that easy? Not always. Not always.
And let me just say this, too, that you have to be careful who you're waiting around with, who's in the waiting room with you.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
Because you know how that happens even in real life? You know how you might be sitting around at the bank waiting to speak to a banker or at the doctor's office and you're waiting to be seen. And sometimes it just depends on who is either striking up a conversation with you, or they might not even be talking to you. They could be talking to someone else, but it'll have you all anxious and
stressed out before you even get into, you know, the interview or the appointment or whatever. And
absolutely. Well, you know, and sometimes the person in the waiting room might have a word from the Lord for you, and it might come in a totally unexpected, from an unexpected place, in an unexpected time. So we have to expect God to work in unexpected ways. That person in the waiting room with you might be somebody that you shouldn't have in that waiting room with you. But open our eyes. It's important to open our eyes to hear God wherever he might speak to us. It's amazing where he speaks and how he speaks and within whom he speaks.
That is so true. And as usual, we are coming up to the end of the half hour.
I can't believe that. We're all enthralled
in these chats. And it has been such a wonderful time. And, Wendy, we just want to thank you so much for being with us today. And this has been just a great time. We've really benefited from your insights. Those of you who are listening, and we've had so many, we want to thank so many for tuning into our chat room today. And Wendy has an actual special giveaway today for one of you, our fortunate and blessed listeners, and we're going to tell you how you can get that. But first of all, Wendy, tell us what it is.
Well, Tracy, I've just completed my first Bible study, and it's an e-book, and it's called, and actually my online class is doing it right now. It's called Trusting God for a Better Tomorrow. And it's a Bible study based on the first book of Psalms. Not a lot of people know that Psalms is, and I didn't know this until I started studying Psalms, that Psalms, all 150, are divided into five books. And I'm writing a series based on those five books. And the first one is based on Psalm 1 through 41, Psalms 1 through 41. And it will be ready the first week of December. So I would love for someone in your audience to have a copy of that, and I will sign that and send that out when it's ready. So that's what will be given away today.
That is awesome. And if it's anything like the chat we've had with you today, I know it's going to be very engaging and such a delightful thing. And right in time for Christmas, if you want to bless somebody with a lifelong gift that keeps on giving.
Absolutely. If anybody knew about prayer, it was David.
Indeed. Well, you can get more from Wendy. As I said in the earlier part of the half hour, she is a speaker through the Proverbs 31 Ministries team. So if you'd like for her to speak at your event or you'd just like to get more information on Wendy, you can go check out her website at wendypope.org. Do that today. And we want to thank you all again for tuning in. Dr. Carolyn sends you her hellos and her love. If you've been blessed by what you've heard today, be sure to share the show link with others and keep dropping in on our Facebook page so that we can continue to hear all about how you're getting good at life. Now, if you want to win that free giveaway from Wendy, you go by and be the first person to post I Love Psalms. That's the phrase, I Love Psalms, on our Facebook page. And you can go to facebook.com/ Getting Good at Life. That's facebook.com/Getting Good at Life, all one word. Go there right after the show. If you are the first one to quote, I Love Psalms, we are going to get that free e-book giveaway to you. So hurry on over there, and be sure to join us right back here on Wednesday. And until then, we want to encourage you to keep getting good at life.
You've been listening to Getting Good at Life with Dr. Carolyn Clancy Miller. To read weekly blogs and learn more about your host, just log on to drcarolynmiller.com. You can also connect with Dr. Carolyn on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. Share the show link with your friends by going to our Blog Talk Radio profile and subscribe to Getting Good at Life on iTunes. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central Time for another exciting edition of Getting Good at Life.